Begin the current daf mizach psachim daf chafalf. We begin on the top line of the Gemara, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is we had a machlokes between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua regarding if there's in the wine press. There was two levels. There was the top one had the upper vat, and then on the bottom had the pit where all the wine, all the liquid that was poured, that was coming through the top would be gathered in the bottom. So there was machlokes regarding if the barrel that's on the top is truma, that's tahira. That breaks. Now, it's going to spill down to the bottom, which is a pit filled with chulin that's tame. When the two of them mix, it's going to be problematic that no one can have it, because chulin tame is row for kanim when they're tame or for zarm. The truma tahira is fit just for the kanim. When they mix, the truma is going to be tame, so it's not fit for anybody, because A, it's truma, so the zarm can't have it, and it's truma tame that the kanim can't have. So the other was a machlekes, Rabbi Yeshua held that one can go ahead and be metame biyadayim. You can actively, which is an iser, to go ahead and be metame the truma, so that to save the hefsim ruba, the great loss of the chulin that's tame, that's in the pit, that's all gathered there. Whereas Rabbi Elazar said no, that one that is an iser of being metame truma, and even though now it's going to anyways ultimately become tame, but you can't do it with proactively, and therefore one has to let it drip down to the bottom and become tame that way. So on that, the Gemara qualifies one statement that regarding this, that Amar Biyisri Bchanino. Machlekes. This whole machlekes that we just mentioned between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua, again regarding the barrel that broke, if we are allowed to go ahead and be metame biyadayim, when you wouldn't be able to save anyways a revias of a truma by having kalim tahirim, because you don't have any pure vessels to go ahead and scoop it out and save at least a revias, that is only shenafel lepachis mimea sa chulin tamim. That is only if it fell into that the chulin on the bottom was less than 100 saw. And that is, the lower part of the vat, which is the gathered part of the chulin that's tameh, does not have 101 ratio of the chulin to the truma, and therefore the truma will not be batel, and therefore it's still considered as if it's significant and it's there, and therefore it's going to make a total loss for all the items over there, because the halach is that, although regarding bittel, sometimes it's bereiv, sometimes it's beshishim, but regarding truma, that has to be 100 to 1 ratio, and therefore, when there's less than that, that is where we had the machlekes that Rabbi Yeshua was saying, well, it's going to be a total loss, a major hafsim ruba, then we can go ahead and be metame the truma before it falls into it. Aval, on this what the Gemara says, however, nafal lemei chulin tamein, if this truma that's tahir is falling now because the barrel broke into the bottom part of the vat, the pit that's on the bottom, that the chulin there has 100 of chulin in relation to the one saw of truma, devei hakoil, then everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yeshua, that teyed v'tetame, that it should go down and become tame, va'ayit men b'yad, and one should not go ahead and be metamed, be a dying by scooping it out quickly with tame kalim before it goes down to the bottom. And the reason is, because here there won't be the loss of the chulin. And that's because the truma will be batel, and so to speak, be considered as if it's chulin itself, and therefore that is fit in the time of when the kohen is tamei, and as we said before, regarding a zar. And therefore, in such a case, Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you're not going to be tamei yadayim, because it won't be hafsim ruba, because now it will be batel in the 100 of chulin that's on the bottom. Similarly, in the Braisa, Chavis Shenishper Begasal Yoin, regarding a barrel that broke in the upper vat, V'tachteo Meya Chulin Temeyin, and in the bottom there is 100 of Chulin in relation to that one of Chuma that's falling down. Then Moidir Beliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, there Rabbi Eliezer would agree to Rabbi Yeshua, Shem Yochel Ahatzel Vimen Revias Batahar Yatzel. Oh, if you could save a Revias Batahar, as we mentioned in the previous stuff, then everyone would agree that you would save the Chuma, although the rest is going to go down and become Tame, but if you could at least save a revius of it, so then you scoop out the revius to save that, because that's our primary, what's important to us is to be able to have the shmir for the truma. But vimlav, if you won't be able to save a revius of truma tahira by what you're trying to do, then teirid v'titme v'ayit menabiyad. There, they're in agreement that we should allow it to go down, and that person should not be metame be a dime. Now, that's exactly what we said before, this idea that when there's going to be 100, If there's you could save a revius, and even if it will go down, you want to save the revius b'tahara, because here it's going to become mixed into the chulin. However, if you cannot go ahead and save a revius b'tahara, then let it go down. Everyone agrees that you let it go down, because although you're saying that there's a loss and you could save it by going ahead and using even kalim tameim, here's not going to be that great loss, because it'll be batel in 100 to 1. So that supports Rabbi Yisrael Chanin, the statement that we said regarding this bittel of 100 to 1 that everyone agrees. However, now the Gemara's question is, that the Gemara assumes when it's said in the Braisa that Moedir Rebbe Eliezer to Rebbe Yeshua, that would be going on. There's really two cases that was mentioned in the Braisa. One was that if you could save a Revius, everyone agrees that you save. But if you cannot save a Revius Patara, then you let it go down and you're not Matam be a dime. So the Gemara assumes right now that in what component does Rebbe Eliezer agree to? That's on the second half of Imlav, that if you can't save the Revius, because Where was their machlokes, as we mentioned on the previous daf? That was regarding that if you cannot save it, but tahara or revius, on that was the machlokes. Rebbe Eliezer says, still you let it go down to be metame, and you're not metame be a dime. And Rebbe Yeshua said that, no, you go ahead, again, regarding when there's less than 100 of chulin, that then you go ahead and it's going to be total loss, and you can be metame be a dime. And therefore, the Gemara asks right now, hi, Moedir Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Yeshua? Is that the proper term that you were saying Rebbe Eliezer agrees to Rebbe Yeshua? What do you mean? To the contrary. Moedir Rebbe Yeshua. The Braisa should be saying that Rebbe Yeshua agrees that, although he says generally, when there is not 100, that we're going to go ahead and say you can be a die-in because or else it's going to be a total loss, that in this case, when there is 100 of chulin, to be mevatel the truma, that he agrees, Rebbe Eliezer, that he said in the other case that you're not mitam be a die-in. Because miboyele, this is what's supposed to be said. Because essentially, what we're saying is here, everyone agrees to what that you're not metame be a dime. You let it go down because here there's no element of saying that the hefsim ruba because you'll be able to use it because it's going to be bottle in the chul and you're not going to consider it like truma tameya. Now, who's the one that said generally that you do that that you're not metame be a dime? That's Rebbe Eliezer. So in this case, Rebbe Yeshua is agreeing to Rebbe Eliezer and not my Rebbe Eliezer to Rebbe Yeshua. So now the Gemara gives two answers. Amar Rava, Epoch. You're right. Very simply, you have to switch it around. It's not Rebbe Eliezer agreeing to Rebbe Yeshua. It's Rebbe Yeshua agreeing to Rebbe Eliezer. Then the Gemara gives another tetz. Rav Huna Rebbe Yeshua Amar. He says Lo'olam Lo Tepach. In truth, don't mix it around. Really, it says as we said that it's Rebbe Eliezer agreeing to Rebbe Yeshua. Now, but this Moida, although we had assumed that it was going on the Seifa, it's not going on the Seifa of Imlav if you don't have Revius to save regarding what they had argued on that we mentioned in the previous stuff. Rather, it's going on the Reisha, which said that if you could save a Revius Patara, then you're going to save. So that the question becomes, what do you mean? That there's always was agreement to. On that, specifically what we're talking about over here is that even if the vessel that you're coming to save the Revius with it is Beklisha Toichi Tar V'Gabi Tomei, that we're talking about a vessel that the inside is tar, and that's why you're using it, because we're told that you have to save, you could save a Revius Patara, which means it's a Kli Tar, but the outside of it is Tomei. And that is the chiddush that we're saying. Rebbe Eliezer agrees that Rebbe Eliezer, who says generally nalbim tam biyadayim, he agrees that you could save the wine with this type of a vessel. And that is, what's the chiddush? It's tahar, and therefore everyone agrees when you can save a revius, which is our primary importance, to go ahead and save the truma. If you can save a revius of truma, then you'll do that. So what's the chiddush in this case? Because although it's tahar, but ma'adatema, you would think to say Nigzer Dilmanoga by Betruma, that maybe the Truma will be touching the outside of the Kli and therefore become Tamei, Kamash Malan, that's not a concern. We're not concerned that maybe the Truma will touch the outside of the vessel when you're coming to scoop it up. It's going in the inside, but maybe some of it's going to touch the outside, and thereby you're going to be Metamet be a Dayim, which according to Rebbe Eliezer's sheet, we never allow. And therefore, that's the chiddush to say that he agrees, Moedir Lezri Yeshua, regarding the first case, that when you have a kli to save revius, which Rashi explains, it's talking about necessarily how do you have a keli that the inside is tar and the outside is tummy. That's by a vessel that became tummy from mashkin, from beverages, which the tumah is only drabonon. As the Braisa says, that a vessel that becomes tummy, the outside from mashkin, then the outside will be tummy, but the inside and the handles and the lip will all be tahar. That's how you can have this, and that's because Chacham instituted that difference so that we should know that it's only Tumah Drabbanan and not come to burn this. So essentially what the Gemara is saying is that you're right. There is an element of Moedir Bishul Rebbe Eliezer. That's on the second part, that here Bishul is agreeing to Rebbe Eliezer. But what was the Braisa meaning when it said Moedir Bishul Bishul, which was actually in the beginning of the Braisa, which was going on the first statement? And that is Rebbe Eliezer agrees to Bishul that although this case is a possible, being Matam B'Yadayim, it doesn't make a difference. He'll agree that you could use this kli to save revius, and we're not concerned that it's going to go on the outside and thereby violate being metam b'yadayim, which Rebbe Eliezer does not allow under any circumstance. Hanaloch erla ba'asa, we shall return to you. Perek erla ba'asa, the first perek in Masechta Pesachim. Now we begin the second perek in Masechta Pesachim, perek kol shah. And this perek continues the theme of the first perek, which primarily was talking about the prohibition of chametz and the time in Erev Pesach when it becomes asa. So our mission begins on that theme. Kol shah shemut lechel. At every time, at any moment, that it's permitted to consume, to eat chametz, then machel, then we can go ahead and feed it. Now, as Rashi explains, that's only necessary for the inference, that to say that what the seifa of the Mishnah says, that when it's not permitted to eat, then you're also not allowed to permit to feed, because obviously if you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to feed. So it's really primarily for the seifa of the Mishnah. But the Mishnah begins saying that if you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to feed, la behema, to a domesticated animal, la chayit, to a wild animal, ifis, to birds, umaychal nachri, you're allowed to sell it to non-Jews, umutaban nosai, and you're allowed to have pleasure. Derive pleasure from this thing, again, because all these things are permitted in the time when you're allowed to eat it. However, avers man, once the time passes, then asa b'hanasa, it's forbidden to have pleasure from it. V'loyasik b'itan v'kram, you're not allowed to even heat up a stove in an oven with it, which the Gemara will ask, when it's pretty obvious, that's also considered getting hana from it, so what's the chiddush in that? Now the Mishnah says that regarding the halach of bir chametz, Rabbi Yehuda Imre, ein bir chametz el esreifa, the only way that you're mekayim the mitzvah of doing the elimination of the chametz is by burning. Whereas by chachamim, they say, af mefar, you could even crumble, v'zer l'ruch, and you throw it to the wind, or mat liam, you throw it in the sea. That is also a kiyum of the necessity of bir chametz, of eliminating the chametz. So now the Gemara says that from our Mishnah that says, kol shah shemutu lecha machem, that as long as it's permitted to eat the chametz, you're allowed to feed the chametz, so the inference is, at any moment that you're not allowed to eat anymore the chametz, then you're not allowed to feed the chametz anymore. So the Gemara says, Lei mas nitin, Lei Rabbi Yehuda. So it seems obvious that our mission is not like Rabbi Yehuda, which was mentioned in the first parak, Deir Rabbi Yehuda, because if it would be going like Rabbi Yehuda, ha'ika chamesh, there is the fifth hour, the eina oichel machal, where you cannot eat, yet you can feed. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah, Daf Yud Alvam and Beis, that said, Remeya Oimer, he said that oichel kol chamesh, we could eat chametz the entire fifth hour in the morning, and you begin burning in the beginning of the sixth hour. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda says, you only could eat up until the end of the fourth hour. And that's again, hours if you were going on a perfect day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. would be from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. would be the first hour and so on. That would be how we're calculating the hours, but we go with Shoyizmani. So Rabbi Huda says, at the end of the fourth hour is when you have to stop eating. The toil in Kol Chamesh, but the entire fifth hour, it's somewhere in the middle. And you could burn, and you begin burning in the beginning of the sixth hour. And that is, so we find by the fifth hour, as explained in the first parak, that you cannot eat it, but you can still feed it. So obviously our Mishnah says, it's only as long as you can eat it that you can feed, which is mashma that when you cannot eat, you cannot feed, it's not like a Yehuda. So then the Gemara continues. So who is the Tana of Mishnah? Belamai Remeir, so you're going to say the Tana of Mishnah is Remeir, who his time for eating is the same time as feeding, but Hai Kol Shah Shemutru Lechel Maichel. It says in our Mishnah that as long as it's permitted to eat, you're allowed to feed. But kol shah she'oichel meichel miboyle. Why did it say in such a cryptic terminology that as long as it's permitted to eat, you're allowed to feed? I should have said as long as you eat, you feed. And from the fact that it said it in two different terms, that it used mutru lechel, it's much more that we're talking about two different people. Because if it was the same first person, it should have said as long as he could eat, he could feed. But shemutru lechel sounds like we're talking about somebody else. And therefore, if it's like a mayor, why would it be someone else? It's the same thing. By the owner, when he can eat, is when he can feed. So that the Gemara says, you're right, it's not Rabbi Huda or a mayor. Amar Rabba Ula Masnid Rem Gamlilhi. It's the third opinion. It's not like learning the Mishnah over there. Gamlil Oimer, he differentiates between Chulin and Shum. He says, Chulin Nechon Kalab. He says, Chulin, like Rabbi Huda, could only be eaten up until the end of the fourth hour, because we're concerned people might make a mistake even with the fifth hour and the seventh hour. But Truma Kol Chamesh, Truma could be eaten the entire fifth hour. And that's because truma, there's a isser of eliminating it when you're not allowed to. And therefore, we want to be as pushing it as late as possible so that we don't come to do it. So therefore, we're lenient with truma to eat the truma of chametz the entire fifth hour. B'soifim etchila sheish, and we begin burning all the chametz in the beginning of the sixth hour. Now, v'hochi kamen, this is what our Mishnah was saying. That kol shah, that at every moment, in other words, the entire time that is a heter for somebody to be eating chametz. Shemut alechel koyim b'truma. That a kohen could be eating truma, you're right, it is two different people. That's why it says the term shemut lechel and not she'oichel. Then Yisrael, meichel chulin, then a Jew can feed the chulin lebehem alechayel oifers, to his domesticated animals, wild animal, and to the birds. Now we understand the terminology in our Mishnah, because like in Leil, that's a reference to somebody else, specifically the kohen, that it's in the fifth hour, that you could still feed your animals. Now the Gemara asks, let me little miss in the behemo. Why do I have to say, A, first of all, that when you can eat, you can feed your domesticated animal? And let me miss the chai, why do I have to say you can feed your wild animal? It would seem to be the same. Why would I have to say both of them? And that the Gemara says, Tzricha. Ditan behema, if I would have told you only that in the fifth hour, then you can feed your domesticated animal, chametz. Di imeshayre, because even if your behema leaves over some chametz, But chazila, you see the chametz there because it's not the normative of domesticated animals to go ahead and store away their food because they get fed by the owners possibly, and therefore it's always going to be there, and you're going to see it to get rid of it. Aval chaya, but by a wild animal, for example, a weasel or a cat or other wild animals, the imashaira chametz nala, if they leave over some of their food, they hide it. A maloi, I would think that maybe then you wouldn't be able to feed it to them because then you're not going to eliminate it in time for Pesach because it's going to be hidden somewhere. And v'itanachaya, and had I only told you the heter by a wild animal, I would have thought that's because mishum de'imishaira, if it leaves over any food, but mi'as mitzneo, as long at least it hides it. And therefore, you're not going to come to be oivan the isra by your rabbi mitzvah because you're never going to see it. They hide it. Al behema, but by a domestic animal, where they do not hide their food. Now, zimad in the Mishayr, maybe it's going to leave, sometimes it'll leave over some of its chametz that you're feeding it. And it's not going to enter his mind to go out and be mevatlid, v'koy I law, b'bal yirah b'yimotza. And therefore, he's going to be over on the issa b'bal yirah b'yimotza. Eim aloy, I would think to say that already in the fifth hour, one cannot feed his domesticated animal. Tzricha, that's why we have to say, both behema and chai, because from one I would not know the other, that the leniency applies in the entire fifth hour because of the possibility of chametz that's being left over. But then the Gemara asks, but oifis, let me, why do I need, what am I adding with the category of birds? And that the Gemara says, either tana behema v'chaya, tana me oifis, once we mention behema chaya, which always is generally those string of those categories together, we included the category of oifis, of birds. Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah that said that at the time that it's permitted to eat, one of the things we said you could do is do meichel anachi, you could sell to a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, pshita? It's pretty obvious. We're saying it's mutter b'hanah, so why can't you sell to a non-Jew? And then the Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Lafuki mehai tana, it's coming to exclude the tana of Bishamai, that although you're right, you're allowed to do all things that are permitted b'hanah, but we would think possibly that your obligation is to make sure that this chametz will not be around by the time Pesach starts. A person is not allowed to just sell his chametz to a non-Jew. Unless he knows that this item of chametz that he's selling to a non-Jew will be finished before Pesach. Because Bishamai hold that the obligation for you to do beer chametz, to eliminate it, is from the world. And there shouldn't be anywhere in the world, even in the hands of a non-Jew. And therefore, you wouldn't be able to sell it in the fifth hour because it's still going to be around by the time that it's usher for the chametz to be around. Basilim, however, Basil say, and that's who we go like, that kol shasha mutalecha mutalimka. As long as it's permitted to eat it, you're allowed to sell it. Once it's out of my possession, there's no problem. I don't have to eliminate it from the world. The non-Jew could hold on to it. Continue on to Amibayz. And the third opinion, Behudim Meseiraimer, he says that kutach, regarding this dip, which they would put in some crumbs of bread in it, which obviously is also because of chametz, the chomini kutach, and all these types of dips, asa limka shleishim yoyim kerem pesach, that you're not allowed to sell it even from when it's 30 days from before Pesach. And that is because, essentially, Rehudim Seir holds like Bishamai. And these dips, they're not consumed so fast because they don't really eat the dip. They just dip things into it. And therefore, from 30 days before, when already starts the obligation of Bir Chametz, because that's the time when they start asking about the halachas of Pesach, then already one would not be able to sell Kutach to a non-Jew because then they already has the Chiv of Bir and it's not going to be gone before Pesach starts. And therefore, that's again why we have to say that Machl Nachri to exclude from the opinion of Bishamai and Yehud Ben Meseir. Then the Mishnah continues, says, Umutabana, and the Chametz is Mutabana. Now, the Gemara assumes right now that that's going on on the time when it's permitted to eat. So one of the things we said is that it's permitted by Anas. So Gemara's Peshit is pretty obvious. You already said you could feed, you could sell it. We said you can derive all types of pleasure from the Chametz in the fifth hour when you're still eating it or when someone's eating it. And therefore, what's the chiddush in saying that's permitted by hanah? Another thing says loy tzricha. It was saying a different chiddush. Shacharchay koydim zman. We're talking about that this chametz, you burnt it, you singed it before the time limit expired of when you're allowed to have hanah from chametz. Ukamash mulon kedir rav. And the chiddush was saying that it's permitted by hanah is like rav. Dama rav. The rav says charchay koydim zman. If you burnt it, you singed it before the time of the chametz being coming aser, then muta b'hanah afil achas zman. Then you could have derived pleasure from the chametz even after this man. And that is, this mutter was not going in during that time period of, let's say, the fifth hour. Rather, it was going on after the time period where you burnt it very well and there's no more taste and this doesn't even have the sight, doesn't look like even like chametz. Then that chiddush is that one can even have hanah from it. La'achas man, that definitely is a chiddush. Then the Mishnah continued and said, however, others manai, but if the time passes, then asa b'hanasa, then it's already forbidden to have anah from the chametz. The Gemara asks, pshita, Well, it's pretty obvious. When it's this man that ends, now there's the Isra of having of chametz, and therefore it's asabahana. Whereas Rashi says that he doesn't want to be gairis this question of pshita, because he says even on Pesach itself, we would have to tell you that it is asabahana, because there's a pin of Rabbi Yisrael Galili that says it is mutabahana all the 7 days of Pesach. There's just the Isra of having of Ba'yira, Ba'yimatzav, eating chametz, but Hana, there's no problem. So therefore, there's no such question of Pshita. Whereas Taisus explains that the question of Pshita is that although there is an opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Galili, but Rabbi Yisrael Galili holds that you don't have to burn the chametz, rather you could give it to your dog, or you could sell it to a non-Jew. However, the question of Pshita was because the Tana in the first perek, the Yud Aleph and Beis, already said that how do you do bir chametz? By burning it. So obviously this Tana that we're continuing into our parak holds that it is Asabahana, and therefore we know that once the time passes, Asabahana, so what's the Chiddush in saying that Avazmani is Asabahana? And that the Gemara says, Lo Yitzricha, L'shoyiz D'Rabbanan. We have to tell you for the rabbinic hours of when Chametz becomes Asar. And that is, this Manoi was going on Pashtis on the time of when you could eat it to. Now, even in the sixth hour, where the Isra is only with Rabbanan, it would already be Asa Bahana. You're right, when it's Asa Midar Reis in the seventh hour, that's not a Chiddush. However, regarding, and that because we know already that from the first peg, but regarding the sixth hour, it's only Asa Midar Rabbanan, that we have to tell you, even then it's going to be Asa Bahana. The Amr of Gidl, Amr of Chiyabar Yisav, Amr Yechanan, that I'm a Kaddish Mishay Shoysel Mala, whoever does Kiddushin, betroths a woman from the sixth hour, and that is, as Rashi says, that has to be obviously from the beginning of the sixth hour, because it was after the sixth hour. That's already Asa Midar Reis. And what would the Chiddush of this statement be saying? Obviously, you cannot be Mekadosh a woman with something that's Asa Ba'ana, because like, it's like you're giving her nothing, because there's no, you can't derive any pleasure from that. So the Chiddush of this Rabbi Yechon's statement was that even in the beginning of the sixth hour, and Afila Bechite Kordanisa, and even the wheat of Kordanisa, which are very hard, yet in spite of that, if there's a concern that maybe there's chametz, for example, if let's say some water fell on it, that it would be aser, then Ein Chesh in the Kedushin, we're not even concerned that there's a possible Kedushin, and that is, even though this is in the beginning of the sixth hour, where that Isra of chametz is only Midrabanan, still there's going to be already, and that's the Chiddush Mishnah, an Isra Bahana, that, and that's because, even though it's Shoyis Midrabanan. And that was what the Mishnah had to tell us, but you're right, regarding the Deraisa, there is no Chiddush in that. And that the Gemara continues in saying from our Mishnah that this Isra Hanah, that's after this man, is V'l'yasik by Tanavik Rami. Now let it heat up the oven and the stove with this chametz after this man. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Pshit, it's pretty obvious. You already said it's Asa B'Hanah. What would be any different about heating up your stove? You're deriving pleasure from that. So then the Gemara says, Lo Yitzricha. The Chiddush is for L'Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar in Bichart El Esreifa, that he says the only way you're allowed to eliminate the chametz for the mitzvah is to do it by burning. Now, I would have thought to say, since he says the mitzvah is with burning. So, during, I'm doing the mitzvah, so during the process of burning it, I could have enough from it, which is to heat my stove and my oven, kamashmon. That was the chiddush to say, that although you're actually doing a process of a mitzvah, however, one would not allow to be having hana from the iser during that time. So now the Gemara asks on the ikar din that we were talking about, that we took for granted, that there is a iser hana on the chametz after this man, and we said there's a chiddush that even in the times of the iser d'rabbanan, which is in the sixth hour, how do we know at all that chametz on Pesach is forbidden to have anah from it? So on that he brings Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk in Shemois. It says, lo yei ochel chametz. It doesn't say that you shouldn't, lo yoichel chametz. It says, lo yei ochel chametz, that chametz should not be eaten. It shouldn't be consumed. Which the drasha is to tell you that from the fact that we're reading it as lo yei ochel, is to say, lo yehei boi heter achila, that there should not be any heterim, any permissiveness regarding the pleasure of this chametz. And that is, there shouldn't be any heterim that will bring to achila. As Rashi says, that generally any pleasure that you derive from an object is to be able to consume from that, because with that monetary benefit, you go ahead and you buy food items with it. And it's therefore when it says lo yei ochel chametz, that chametz should not be eaten, and that not in the active but rather in the passive, is telling you that there should be no process bringing you to eating from that thing, which means to say that even if having hanah from it, let's say selling it off, which will then give you money to then go ahead and buy something, that is also forbidden, and that we know from lo yei ochel chametz. So now the Gemara is medak. The Gemara infers from this drasha that tells you that now we know why there's an isra hanah on chametz after this man. Time in the Kasav Rachmanu lo yachal chametz. It sounds like from this drush of Chizkiah that it's because the Torah said it in this passive way of lo yachal chametz that tells you that there's even the Isra Hanan the chametz. Had it not said in that passive way, I would think to say that with the Isra of Achila of Chametz, let's say said lo yoichel, I would think it means only that you're not allowed to eat the Chametz, but Isra no le mashma, it would not include also that there would be a prohibition on having pleasure from that. And the Gemara says, if that's the case, so plead the Ravo. So obviously Chizki is arguing under Bavo. Damer Bavo, kamakum shenema lo yoichel. Wherever it says in the Torah that you shouldn't eat, lo yisoichel, lo yisoichlu, whichever, however it says it. Then echad isra achil, that would include to tell you that there's an isra of eating it, and also of echad isra namash would also include to say that you now drive pleasure from it. Until the pasuk would come and delineate and be explicit to tell you that there is a hetar for hanah, kederek shepart lucha benevelis. Similarly, as the Torah, it was specific regarding carcass, where the Torah there didn't say in this passive way, it only said leisaychlu. Yet the Torah had to come along and say that it's muta b'hanah. So from there you learn as a prototype to show you that there always will be assumed an isra hanah, even if it just says leisaychlu again, which is arguing Chizki, who says that it's only here because we said in the passive way that it will include an isra hanah, but generally it will not. This is a machlokes. It sounds like in the brisa leisaychlu kol nevela. Says in the pasuk that any Jewish person should not eat any nevela, any dead carcass of a dead animal. Then rather to the convert in your gates you should give it to. Va'achla and he'll eat it. Oymachla nachri yourself to nandra v'gemet, etc. Now, and again, this is Bryce is being brought as a source from Bavo's halacha that we'll see that there's an assumed isra hanah on anything that's asa b'achil. However, first the Gemara brings this machlekes in the Braisa regarding this process of what to do with the nevela. The Jewish person is not allowed to eat it. He has to give it either to, as we said in the pasuk, give it to the ger, to the convert, or sell it off to the non-Jew. So on that, the first opinion of Braisa says, "Ainli el leger benesina." I would only know from the pasuk, as it sounds like, that you can only give it to the convert, but lonachi b'mechira, and you can only sell it to the non-Jew, because that's what the pasuk sounds like. How do you know both will apply to both? That is, leger b'mechir minayin. How do you know that you could even sell it to the convert? So, Tama Loima, you read the pasuk as follows. Leger asher b'sherecha, to the convert in your gates, titnena oymacher, you give it or sell it. And that is, you could read it both ways. You could read it that until it goes on to the non-Jew, they're all going back on the convert. And similarly, as the Gemara will say in a moment regarding the non-Jew, that he darshins the first part of the pasuk all going on the non-Jew. As the Gemara says, "L'nochi b'nesina minayin." How do you know that you could even give it as a gift to the non-Jew, where it sounds like to the nachri you can only sell it to? So, Tama Lami, read the pasuk as follows. Titnena, give it, va'achla, and be eaten, oymacher, or sold, l'nachri, to the non-Jew. And therefore, Nimtzesimer comes out in the conclusion, the way we dash in the pasuk, and truth, echad ger, whether a convert, vechad nachir, whether a non-Jew, beim mechir, beim nesina, you could either sell it to them or give it to them. Divrei Meir, that's the understanding of the Pinrei Meir. But ultimately, what we do see, as the Gemara will elaborate shortly, that we see that from this pasuk, that we needed a heter for hana, again, whether to sell it or whether to give it as a gift. And that is because, as Rabbi Avoh said, that just saying there's a prohibition of eating the nevela will already include an isra hanah, and that's why we needed the pasuk to be mefaret and say that there is a heter for hanah. Unlike Chizki, who says that we wouldn't assume a need to of isra hanah to be matered by hanah. Now Rabbi Huda argues on Rabbi Meir. He says dvarm kiksavim, that the mitzvah is exactly how it's written in the pasuk. Leger b'nesina, you can only give it to the convert, v'lanachir b'mechira, and you can only sell it to the non-Jew. And that is, you cannot give it to the non-Jew, and you cannot sell it to the convert. Now the Gemara elaborates and explains both opinions. My time at Rabbi Huda, what is the understanding of Rabbi Huda, why he says necessarily has to be dvarm chiksavan as it's written, and that you can't have Remeir's drashas? He says, because Isa g'day d'kedam Remeir, if you would think, as Remeir's interpretation. So then, lichtav rachman, the Torah should have just said as follows. Ligyarsha b'sherecha, to the convert in your gates, titnena va'achlu umacher. You give it, he eats it, or you sell it. Now, oi, the terminology of or, which is sounds like that it's differentiating, lomali, why do I need that in the pasuk? And that is, if you would interpret the pasuk like Rameyer says it, where both are going on ger, and both are going on the non-Jew, that is, you could sell it or give it to either one, so then don't say oi. Why say or? Or it sounds like it's separating. Don't separate. Both the one who's mentioned in the beginning of the pasuk, Ger, all the terminologies go on him, and Nachri is mentioned at the end, all of them go on him. Why say, oh, it sounds like it's separating? Shemamanel, Dvaram Kiksavan, obviously is telling us that the pasuk is as it's written, that it's coming to Bedavka, come to separate between the two. Either this or this, you can't have one on the other. Whereas Remei, he responds, no. And truthfully, that they're both inclusive of both. But oi, why do we have the or? That's lahaktim, to give preference of nesina deger lemechir denachri, of the giving to the convert in place of the selling to the non-Jew. And that is, if there is a convert that you could give to, then that giving takes precedence over the selling to the non-Jew. Now, as Rashi says, this ger is a ger toshav, that there's an that he's someone that accepted upon himself not to go ahead and serve idols, but he eats nevelas. So there, we're saying that we would give a preference to that ger of a gift instead of selling. That's what it says, oy, to say that there is a difference. But regarding the applications, that would apply the selling and the giving to both. But Rabbi Yehuda, he responds, holy tzach kra. If that's what you're telling me the oy is coming for, that I wouldn't need a pasuk for, because kiven de gerat de mitzvah lach yosei, since the convert, you have a commandment to provide his sustenance, to keep him alive, like it says in the pasuk in Vayikra Chafei, ger v'toshev v'chayimach, that he should live with you, so you have an obligation to support him. V'nachri at de mitzvah lach yosei, and whereas a non-Jew, you have no obligation to support him, so like tzarech kra, I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell you that there's a precedence to give to the convert and not to sell it to the non-Jew, because svaru, it's logic. From our own logic, we would know that you would give, that the giving to the convert is, it takes precedence over the selling to the non-Jew, because you have an obligation to support the sustenance of the convert. That's a mitzvah, whereas there's no mitzvah to sell to a non-Jew. So obviously, that when it does say ay in the pasuk, is coming to differentiate and to say that you're now allowed to go ahead and give a gift to the non-Jew and to sell the nevela to the convert. So now that was the Gemara's explanation of this machlekes between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda in the Brisa regarding how you understand the pasuk. Now the Gemara goes and concludes with this being as a proof for Reb Avo. So the Gemara says, Bishleima, we could very well understand Reb Avo, who is halacha, that he says that we would assume there would be an Isra Hano, and that's why the pasuk had to tell you that it's permitted. Do the Isra Hano is actually not us, it's permitted here that you could either sell it or give it. That Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir, you would be able to learn that halacha from him, because the Amah that he said, Echer Ger, whether a convert, Vecher Nachri, whether non-Jew, Beim Mechir, whether selling, Beim Nisim, whether giving, and that is Mid'itzach Kra Lemishri Neve Lebanah, from the fact that we needed the pasuk to tell you that it's permitted to have Hana from this carcass, from this Nevela. But Hakol Isur in Shabbat Torah, but that inference would be, however, all other prohibitions in the Torah, which it does say, Lo Yisoichel or Lo Yisoichel, all these terms, like here, that had it not been specifically delineated that there is a Hetav Hana, then Asurin, then they would be Asur, Bein Bachila, Bein Bahana, whether by eating or whether other types of pleasure. So that is a clear proof to Reb Avo's Halacha from the way Reb Meir is saying it, because he's permitting all types of anahs from this pasuk, and that we needed a pasuk to tell you that. Obviously, without it, I would say it's also anah, although it only says a term of loy, of not eating it. Ella, however, the Gemara asks Rebbe Avo's halacha that he's saying there is an assumption of a isra anah until you know to the preclude that it's going to be mutter. Rebbe Yehuda, but according to Rebbe Yehuda's interpretation of the pasuk, as we just mentioned, the brisa, the amad that he said ledvam kiksavan hudaasa, that the pasuk is coming to tell you exactly as it's written, that you only have the giving to the ger and the selling to the non-Jew. How would you know from this pasuk to infer that all other yisurim in the Torah that would be assumed to be asur b'hanah just from saying that you're not allowed to eat it? And that is because maybe from the fact that the Torah had to be mefarit to specify regarding an nevela that you could sell or give, is not to tell you because you would assume that there would be an Isra Hana, as Reb Avo says, and that's why I have to tell you that it's Mudah Bahana. That's not true, because maybe that's not necessary. Maybe I would never assume, as Chizkiah says, that there's an Isra Hana. I would think that it's Mudah Bahana. Rather, the reason why the pasuk had to delineate and be mefarad by Nevela is to make a stringency and to say, yes, although generally you're allowed to go ahead and have any types of Hanas from something that's usher to eat, however, I would think to say that maybe here they're being stringent and saying that no, that by the nachri you have to sell and the ger you have to give, because had I not said that, I would have thought to say that all hanas are mutter, as Chizkiah says. So therefore, according to Bevo, how does he learn, in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, where is the source to say that you take for granted that there is this hanah until you have a heter to the otherwise, as we have by Nevela, but it's not true. From this pasuk, you don't see clearly that it's coming to be mater, maybe it's coming to be machmer, and saying that although generally all hanah is a mutter, here there's a specific way how to have hanah by selling to the non-Jew and giving to the ger. So that the Gemara says, you're right, Nafkalei, the Bavo would have to learn, according to Rabbi Yehuda, from a different pasuk, from a pasuk in Shemais that says, Mi lakelev tashlich anoyser, from the pasuk of that you take the nevela and you throw it to the dog. And that is from the fact that it says, a treifa lo yisaychlu, it says regarding a treifa, which is different than nevela. And that is, it says, however, but that you will throw it to the dog, and k'ninyo atab of chabbezim al-alv, that oysay atamashlich lakelev, that this, the treifa, is what you throw to the dog. However, you're not allowed to throw, which is having anah by giving it to the dog, all other isurim in the Torah, which says leisaychel, like this type of case, because in those cases where you don't have an exclusion to saying that it's going to be muta b'hanah, you would say that it's going to be asa b'hanah. So he's learning it from a different pasuk of oisai, only over here by the treifa, that then you have anah by giving it to the dogs. But however, regarding all other isurim that just says it's asa to eat it, would be asa b'hanah, and you wouldn't be able to give it to the dog. Whereas Remeir responds to this, and that he learns out the isra hanah for other Yisurim, as we said on the previous daf, from Nevela. So although definitely, as Rashi explains, we had to specify the heter by treifa that you're allowed to give it to the dog for it itself, to say that it's going to be muta tavanofim, because had we not been specific with treifa also, I would think to say it's asabana, as we're going in Rebbe Vahu's opinion. However, the question that the Gemara has, according to a mayor, is what do you need oisai for? Oisai sounds like excluding other things. What's it excluding? That exclusion, to say that other Yisurim, you already would know that it's going to be asa b'hana, until we say to the opposite in the Torah that it's mutter, that I already know from the Vela. Why do I need this oisai by treifa, which is where Rabbi Hud is learning it from? And that the Gemara says, he learns oisai for something else. Oisai at the mashlech lekelev, by a treifa that you could throw to a dog, v'yat the mashlech lekelev, chulin shenishchetu bazar. However, you're not allowed to throw to a dog chulin, unconsecrated animals that were slaughtered in the azar. That is, it's telling us that there's an isra hana for chulin that was slaughtered in the azar, which is learned out. The isra achila is learned out from a pasuk in Devarim Yud Beis that says, ki yirchak mimcha hamakom, if the place will be far from you, in other words, in reference to the Beis HaMikdash, v'zavachta v'echata, then you slaughter and you eat it, which sounds like a distance from the Beis HaMikdash, which is out of the machna shchina, that you could slaughter and you could eat it. However, you cannot slaughter and eat if it was close to there. In other words, if you took chulin and you slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, then you cannot eat it. Now, because it wasn't explicit, the lav of saying that you can't eat it, that's why we had to learn an Isra Hanah from here. And that is because the question is, if we really know all things that have an Isra Achila, why would I need Oisai to say that you can't have the Isra Hanah of throwing it to the dog by Chulin Shanishch to Bazara if everything that's Asa to eat has an Isra Hanah? And that's what Rashi says, that since the lav of eating it was not explicit, it was learned from a drasha. It was just learned that, only that you could slaughter and eat if it wasn't slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash. But if it was slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, then you cannot eat it. That's why we needed to include the Isra Hanah from this drasha. And that's what Rashi says, that's what's mashma, that oisai, that this thing that became usur when it moved out of its boundaries, that you could throw to a dog. Because from this pasuk, actually, of basa basa de treifa, which is, that's what it's going on, is we were learning out the isra of going beyond the boundaries. For example, if let's say the embryo, stuck its hand out of the animal during the time of the slaughter, as the Gemara Chul Naf Samaches Mabeis says, so therefore, but there is a different one that would be usr because of going out of its boundaries, and that you would not be able to throw that to the dog. So although that pasuk of basa basa de treifa is what we're talking about a treifa, but that's the source where we're saying that you're allowed to throw it to the dog. But oisai, only that one which moved beyond its boundaries and became usr, again, is that the pasuk of treifa is going to be permitted to throw it to the dog. But a different one that moved beyond its boundaries, specifically this one of chulin that was slaughtered in the azar, which went beyond where it's allowed to be, it's only allowed to be slaughtered out of the Beis HaMikdash, that case we're excluding from oisai to say that that will not be able to be thrown to the dog and that there will be a isra hanah. Whereas the Gemara says, "V'idach and Rabbi Yehuda chulin shenishchet to bazar," regarding this halacha that Remeir is learning out from his oisai, which he's already using to exclude all the other things that have an isra achila, that there's going to be isra hanah. Also, he learns that isra hanah when you slaughter an animal in dazar lav deraisi, that's not min ha'Torah, and this is a machlokes already mentioned the second parak in Masechtas Kedushin on daf nun ches amen alf. And this is the support for the opinion of Rebbe Vo, that he says, not like Chizkia, that not because it says in the past of lo ya'achol, rather, anytime it says in the Torah that it's forbidden to eat, it would include an Isra having a no. According to Remeir, we learned that out from Nevela, and according to Behuda, we learned it out from the Pasuk of Treifa, from Oisai, which says only here you'll have a no from it, but everywhere else where it says Isra Chila, there's also going to be an Isra Hanah.